So, Jimmy, why do you play guitar with your teeth?
Well, actually, I really don't play with my teeth. I play with my ears. My ears there.
Hey, Jimmy, what do you think of American Cops?
American Cops? Oh, man, it's really great, man. They got some groovy uniforms, stripes down their pants, clubs in their pockets. Wow. That was like guns.
Tell me, Jimmy, do you smoke?
No.
Hey, Jimmy, why'd you wear your hair like that?
Yeah, well, these hair strands here, each one stands for a vibration. They're all supposed to be good. But, oh, there goes a strand there.
Did you put a spell on those two white boys?
Well, I think they put a spell on me. You know, we're all brothers and sisters, aren't we?
Jimmy, how much do you rely on gimmicks?
Gimmicks, here we go again. Gimmicks, man. I'm tired of people saying we rely on gimmicks. What is this? The world is nothing but a big gimmick, isn't it? Wars, napalm bombs and all that. People get burned up on TV and it's nothing but a big gimmick. Yes, we do.
Day Podcast Radio Show with Bruce Hilliard. Today and every day, reaching out for innovative ideas in every way. Today's show is brought to you by Your Future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Skies, Seattle? No. But back in the 60s, Seattle sure had Louie Louie down. Whatsoever. Jimi Hendrix was one of the ultimate rock stars of the 60s. He was sexy, he was cool, he lived fast and died young. He was also one of the most important guitar players ever produced. Jimi Hendrix pushed the envelope as far as it could go, and then a little bit further. Jimi Hendrix was born Johnny Allen Hendrix, November 27, 1942, in Seattle, Washington. His parents, James Al Hendrix and Lucille Jeter, were of mixed races, African-American, Native American, and Caucasian blood on both sides. They were married just before Al was drafted in 1942, the same year Lucille discovered she was pregnant. This was a year when World War II was in full swing. Al was informed of the birth of his son while still in the army. Lucille had named the baby Johnny, a name of the man Al suspected was the true father. When Al returned from the army, he found his wife was involved with this other man, and they'd moved to Portland. It's reported that Jimmy was somewhat of a neglected child. When the family went to visit Lucille, she was in the hospital beaten. Since Lucille was a minor, her boyfriend was convicted of transporting a minor across state lines and was sent to prison for 2 years. Al took the boy with him and changed his name to James Marshall Hendrix. Jimmy was a shy child and didn't quite fit in anywhere. He was part black, part white, part Native American, and some of his time was spent with his grandmother, Nora, who was part Cherokee. Like most kids, Jimmy loved comic books and science fiction. When he was 13, his dad bought him an old guitar for $5, and music became his obsession. Jimmy was left-handed, so he needed to restring the guitar. He played in bands and hung out anywhere he could find out more about music. Jimmy's mother, Lucille, passed away in 1958. He was deeply affected, and he dropped out of Garfield High School and joined the Army, the 101st Airborne Division, to become one of the Screaming Eagles, a paratrooper. Jimmy received a medical discharge after breaking his ankle on a jump, and with a few dollars in his pocket and a guitar, he made his way to Nashville. He was a sideman, and he learned his chops from the R&B players of the day. Somehow, everyone remembers seeing the Beatles on Ed Sullivan for the first time. This is an account from the Isley Brothers, sharing it with Jimi Hendrix.
He was starting a band before the first rehearsal was over. And, you know, from like the jump, he was given preferential treatment, which, you know, some of the guys in the band had rubbed him the wrong way, but place. Because it turns out that person, that you never know who you're dealing with or who you're rubbing elbows with. The night that the Beatles played on Ed Sullivan for the first time, on our couch is me on the left side, Marvin, the youngest brother, on the right side, and Jimi Hendrix in the middle. And when Ed Sullivan said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles," there was no clap of thunder. You don't know what the future holds. It's indelible.
And you never forget the Ed Sullivan moment.
Oh, right? No. And a couple of days after that, two or three days after that, there was a meeting with the whole band. And amongst other things, Kelly said, "Now, this new English band changed everything. And, you know, I don't know what it's going to be like for, even for Elvis himself. But I think we're going to be all right because they do Shout and Twist and Shout." And they got two guitar players. But we got Jimmy. And when he said, "But we got Jimmy," I looked over at Jimmy, and Jimmy was grinning from ear to ear at that remark. It's like, yeah, you know, so.
You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout, come on now, don't forget to say you will.
He headed to New York, the Harlem clubs, where he hooked up with the Isley Brothers and Little Richard.
He was a star. When I got him, he was a star. Sly told you that everybody is a star. The only problem is some people haven't been put in the dipper and pulled back on the world. That's what the answer is.
That's what the answer. You got to be placed into the dipper and pulled back down on the world, and then men will see your good works and glorify God Jehovah. Jimi Hendrix could play that rock and roll. I used to be singing rock and roll, get him, woo, 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 be gone. He have that thing just romping and thumping all up under my toes. At time, he used to make my big toe shoot up in my boot. He did it so good. He gave it all to you. And that's what you want. You want it all or none. But Jimmy had this perseverance to go on. He didn't mind looking freaky. Like I don't mind it. Because I was doing it before he was. And I know when he saw me, he gave him confidence and great recompense of reward, my Lord. Trying to spread a little joy and love together to show the world that the end is not yet, that I got to take you higher. Not off of some cocaine or a piece of grass or some heroin. But Jimmy was going to take him higher than that. And he's always wanted to be this big star. But you know, I never got a chance to see him after he made it. They would never let me come back. I used to say, why? What did I do? I had something to tell him. And I never did. So now I have to talk about it and let him know. It was good. I just wanted to let him know that I knew you was going to make it.
He soon heard the work of Bob Dylan, his surreal lyrics, and unpolished voice, and started to think maybe he could sing too.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody of it is worth.
Groups I was with, they didn't let me do my own thing, you know, like Feedback and Midnight Hours or something like that. So finally I just got tired of it and got a group together of myself in the village.
Hendrix played empty rooms, and he worked at his craft, playing behind his head, between his legs, with his teeth, and using feedback and distortion as part of his sound. But he was just getting by. He was couch surfing. Then he was introduced to Chaz Chandler, the bass player for the Animals. Chaz was looking for the right guy to manage, and when he saw Jimmy, he knew he had found it. He told Hendrix he could make him a star if they moved to England. Neither Hendrix or London would ever be the same. In September of 1966, London was going through the wake of the Beatles, the Stones, Eric Clapton, the new guitar god. The cultural clash was flower power, miniskirts, rock and roll, and Jimmy took it all in. Jimmy's manager, Chaz Chandler, introduced him to Clapton and others. They were overwhelmed. The next step was to put a band together. Chandler found a drummer, John Mitch Mitchell, and a young guitarist named Joel Redding. Joe was scheduled to audition for the Animals, but he became the bass guitarist of the Jimi Hendrix Experience. Here the two of them are interviewing Jimmy.
So, Jimmy, why did you play guitar with your teeth?
Well, actually, I really don't play with my teeth. I play it with my ears. My ears there.
Hey, Jimmy, what do you think of American Cops?
American Cops? Oh, man, it's really great, man. They got some groovy uniforms, stripes down their pants, clubs in their pockets. Wow. That was like guns.
Tell me, Jimmy, do you smoke?
No.
Hey, Jimmy, why do you wear hair like that?
Yeah, well, these hair strands here, each one stands for a vibration. They're all supposed to be good. But, oh, there goes a strand there.
Did you put a spell on those two white boys?
Well, I think they put a spell on me. You know, we're all brothers and sisters, aren't we?
Jimmy, how much do you rely on gimmicks?
Gimmicks, here we go again. Gimmicks, man. I'm tired of people saying we buy gimmicks. What is this? The world is nothing but a big gimmick, isn't it? Wars, napalm bombs and all that. People get burned up on TV and it's nothing but a big gimmick. Yes, we do.
Guitar players will tell you much of their sound comes from their hands, not their equipment. Check out Jimmy's hands. They somehow fit his sound. And check out Stevie Ray Vaughan, Brian May, Carlos Santana, some of those guys. The jury's still out on whether or not Hendrix was being controversial when he played the Star Spangled Banner at Woodstock, but it is interesting when he gets to the part where the lyric is bombs bursting in air, there are screams, sirens, and taps. Anyone's standards. And in closing, I would like to point out that the chords to Wild Thing are so much like Louie Louie, it'll make you want to set your guitar on fire.
life will be dear.
Support for Better Each Day comes from BruceHilliardHomes.com. For a better day in buying or selling a home, search BruceHilliardHomes.com or visit our website, Better Each Day, for more information. And while you're there, subscribe to the show. It's free. That's BruceHilliardHomes.com, Windermere Real Estate. And make it better each day.
But until then, honor the future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
And we're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.